Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, episode 101, 101, if you will, which is awesome because this podcast over the last month or so has been football 101 for those of you that love to learn more about the sport, including how to evaluate certain positions. We've done quarterbacks, safeties, linebackers. We've been all over the place. Today we will attack tight ends. We've got NFL training camps opening this week, which is amazing. And we will get into our conference previews for the 2017 season beginning next week. What does that mean? That means Fran, especially, the star of this podcast, that being, of course, Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles, at FDuffy3 on Twitter. He is the guy that will break down the top players in the top conferences to make sure everybody is ready to rock and roll with the 2017 season. I'm just a former NFL offensive lineman that has a bunch of podcasts that I love, including this one, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. We've got one last position group to go, and that is the tight ends. You can, of course, always check out this podcast over at rostucker.com. That's also where all of our various sponsors are, if you ever want to take advantage of any of them and then ask Fran or myself a question. After you take advantage of one of those sponsors at rostucker.com, including just the Amazon banner ad, forward that to me, ross@rostucker.com. Also, a special shout out to artisticrebels.com. Jason Montgomery is one of the main tuckheads over at tuckheads.com, runs that website, which is really, really cool. Highly encourage you to check out artisticrebels.com. Fran, it is our last position group that we are diving into before we get into the conference previews. Are you starting to feel like it's football? I mean, you're there in the Eagles facility. They're starting up pretty soon. Are you starting to get the itch a little bit?
Yeah, I've certainly gotten the itch, man. I mean, they've had we hold training camp here at the facility, and so all the signage and things like that have been up for about a week, and so I've been kind of itching to go. A week from now, yesterday was the first overall practice, and a week from now, tomorrow, will be the first full team practice. So I'm very, very excited to get going. And even talking about getting, obviously, look, I'm excited about today's episode, and we're going to talk about the tight end position, and all the previous position preview episodes we've done have been really awesome. But I'm looking forward to doing these conference previews next week too, because honestly, it brings me back to when we first started this podcast and we first started previewing conferences and the players to watch and all these games. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next few weeks. So really, really excited to get things going and for us to actually be talking about some football in the coming weeks.
Right. And again, the idea behind the podcast is to make sure, number one, everybody has a good feel for the top prospects, top NFL prospects in college football, so that all season long, when you're watching a college football game, you know who to look at. You know who you should be targeting when you're watching certain teams play. Let's go, Fran, to the tight end position. And no guest today, so you and I are just going to talk about the tight end position a little bit back and forth. It's interesting. It seems like, you know, the position itself in the NFL draft has been kind of up and down. I mean, wasn't it just 2 years ago that there weren't really that many great tight ends in the draft? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Fran, but Hunter Henry was the first one off the board, and he didn't go until the second round. And then this past year, you know, this past April, we had three go in the first round. More went, you know, shortly after that. It's really interesting. It almost feels like more than any other position that there can be a wide variance and disparity from year to year at the tight end spot.
You know what it is, too? We were just missing out on the top-end talent, you know, at that position over the last few years. I mean, we had three go in the first round this year. That's the most that have gone in the last 12 years, at least, going back as far as I've been studying the draft. You had 14 overall get picked. But even 2 years ago, 2015, we saw 19 guys get picked. 2013, there were 16 that got picked. I mean, we've seen them come in numbers. We just didn't have the amount of top-end talent that we saw in this 2017 class. And it was really good because, like you said, we had been missing the star power there. You know, we've seen good players come into the league. Obviously, the Travis Kelce's and the Jordan Reed's of the world in the last few years have started to emerge as some of the top playmakers at the position. But with some of the guys that came out this past season, I think you're going to see a lot of quality playmakers. And from what I've seen this year, it's going to be another good class. I don't know if it's going to be a class on the level of what we saw this past year, but I think it's going to be better than some of the classes we had seen in recent years. Some of the guys that I've watched so far, we'll get to them later in the show, but some of the guys I've watched so far, I've looked pretty good, and I'm excited to continue breaking them down over the next 10 months or so.
Let's get to the tight end position, Fran, and I'm curious as to when you evaluate tight end prospects, what are the three most important on-field traits that you want to see?
Well, for me, number one, I want to see a guy that's got great mental processing. And what does that mean at the tight end position? Well, first of all, the tight end position is a thinking man's position. You have to be able to process things quickly because you're close to the ball. You're close to the action. You're not out in an island outside the numbers. You are playing in the middle of the field. Everything moves faster. There's more bodies. It's more congested. So you want to see a guy that can quickly decipher where the holes in his own coverage are. Is he running away from a man defender, or is he settling into a soft spot in zone coverage? How is he in terms of setting up his routes and trying to create separation on his own? Because these guys aren't the super twitchy athletes that you're going to see from a slot receiver or from an outside receiver. They need to have some savvy to them in order to separate. So number one, I'm looking for that mental processing trait and just the ability to see things quickly. Number two, I'm going to look for not just athletic ability, but I want to see ball skills. And not ball skills doesn't mean, you know, in terms of consistent hands. That means the ability to adjust to the ball in the air, to adjust to a poorly thrown pass. Because again, those tight ends in the middle of the field where there are lots of bodies, it's hard for a quarterback to be pinpoint accurate when there's tight windows in the middle of the field. So you need a tight end that can adjust to a ball that's thrown behind him, that's thrown above him, that's thrown below him. So you want to see a guy that can maximize his catch radius and be able to reel in those passes away from his frame through traffic. So ball skills, I would say, would be number two. And then number three, this is across the board, I'm always looking for those guys that have that competitive toughness trait. And, you know, we'll talk about blocking and the importance of blocking at the position. To me, if you show want to at the college level, that's a really good starting point. So even if you're not great with your hands yet, and even if you're not the strongest, if you show a want to and if there's a level of effort there, I'll take that. And that's across the board. Again, when you're dealing with the amount of contact that those guys are dealing with on a weekly basis in the NFL level, you need to have the mental fortitude to be able to withstand that contact. So that competitive toughness trait is absolutely a priority as well.
Fran, in your mind, is there a must-have on-field trait for the position to be a successful NFL starter?
You know, I think to me right now, if you're going to be a quote-unquote NFL starter, that means you're a three-down player. And if you're a three-down player in today's NFL, that means you've got to be versatile. And everybody says, oh, you know, this guy can be moved all around the formation. He's really versatile. I thought that the Eagles defense coordinator, Jim Schwartz, last summer during training camp, he had one of his first press conferences of the year, and he was asked about the Eagles tight end group. And he talked about versatility at that position and what that means. And being able to be moved around a formation doesn't make a guy versatile. Making a guy being versatile is the fact that he can be put on the field in a run situation, in a pass situation. He can line up at all those places, and the defense has to respect it. So you could take a 270-pound tight end that you're not worried about catching a pass. You can move him out wide, but the defense doesn't – yeah, they're going to move somebody out there, but that's not something that they're going to necessarily be worried about. When you have a tight end, though, that can line up anywhere in the formation and be a threat, but also line up in line and be counted on as a blocker in the run game or be held in pass protection, now it's not a tell sign when you line him up anywhere in the formation, whether it's a rundown or a passing down, it's not a tell sign for the defense, like, oh, this is what they're going to do on this play. When you've got the ability to kind of hold your cards tight to your vest and be able to play that tight end anywhere, that's when you're truly versatile. And to me, if you're going to be a starter, you need to be versatile in today's game.
You know, it's interesting, Fran, because it feels like everybody wants the guy that can really run and that can really, you know, be a guy that's a threat down the seam, can stretch the middle of the field like that. But yet when you watch, there are so many guys that it seems like are successful, like a Jason Witten. And I don't know that it's really because of their pure speed. I don't know. I mean, and Ertz can run, but I don't know. I just feel like for a lot of these guys, it's their ability to run routes, their ability to understand coverages that seemingly has more success for them than just, you know, the 40 time that they run.
I 100% agree, and I 100% value a guy's quickness in a short area, his ability to separate at the top of a route, which that you're not going to get that from a 40 time. You want to see that ability to separate in a short area, and that's going to come if you're looking for a drill. I mean, that's going to come from your short shuttle, your three cone, those agility drills where you're going to see those kind of times. I want to see quickness more than explosive speed. Explosive speed's fine, and that's fun, and that's you've got the ability to attack vertically, and that's all well and good. But to me, I'm more looking for those quickness traits as opposed to explosive linear traits that you're going to see from some of these other vertical threats on the outside. I'd rather, much rather, see a guy that's got that quickness in a short area. Let me ask you this question, Ross. As a former offensive lineman, when you played, and obviously it was kind of a different game and you saw guys like Kyle Brady go in the first round at the position and things like that, but later in your career and as you've continued to watch the game evolve, as a former offensive lineman, when you would look to those tight ends to be a part of the run game or be a part of pass protection, what were you looking for? Like, what were you hoping for in the guy that was lining up two guys down from you to be able to hold up? Like, how much importance did you kind of have in your mind on what that guy's role was in your protection scheme?
It's funny because, you know, so much of what we talk about with prospects, Fran, is, you know, height, weight, speed, those type of things, hands, you know. But when you're actually out there, the only two things that you really care about are, does the guy know what the heck he's doing? And is he going to really do it to the best of his ability and get after it? You know, I mean, the two things that guys just cannot take from any teammates, really, at any position, Fran, it's they don't know what the hell they're doing. And that's not just, by the way, knowing who to block. It's how to block them, right? I mean, if it's an outside zone scheme and I'm playing right tackle and the tight end and I, we're blocking that D end up to the Sam linebacker off the ball, I want to know that guy knows to take the outside armpit of that defensive end to really stretch him, but to stay tight to me and to have eyes on the linebacker, but to wait, you know, push the down guy. You've got time to get to the linebacker because you'll see rookies, they're like in a hurry to go up to the linebacker or they don't take the right footwork to give you a piece. Either they don't give you anything to hit, Fran, in the run game, or they give you everything to hit, you know? Like they take footwork that they totally avoid the DN and you're like, oh, God. And you know what I mean? Then you're not double teaming them. It's like, oh, my gosh. What, you know, you just get so frustrated. So, and that's why, by the way, guys like Celek and certain tight ends last forever because they know what they're doing and there's such value. Anthony Fasano is another one. And just tight ends that know exactly the right way to combo with offensive tackles and do the right thing. And then they've got enough technique and enough want to that they can get the job done. So I would tell you, Fran, it's really about knowing what the heck they're doing and then doing it hard. Because then there's the other thing. There's some guys that don't really – I mean, they know what they're doing, but they don't really want to do it, you know? I mean, they've been, you know, they caught a lot of balls in college, or they're big money guys in the NFL, and they don't really want to do it. You know, they don't really want to do sort of the dirty work. And I don't have a lot of time for those guys either. So, yeah, that's a good question. I guess my question to you, Fran, would be, you know, I asked you, is there a must-have on-field trait for a guy to be successful? Is there something where if a guy, if you see something, you say, man, that guy, he's got no shot. Like, it's just, he cannot be a successful starter in the NFL.
Yeah, I've got a couple pet peeves, and your answer was really interesting, because you brought up two of the – I mean, I would factor in terms of knowing what he's got to do under mental processing and then doing it at a high level of effort and with competitive toughness. So I was really happy to hear you answer that way, because I think we're on the same page there. And then in terms of your question, I've got so many pet peeves, man, at pretty much every position. But when you look at the tight end position, there is nothing I hate more. While we're talking about the run game and you're talking about like the double team and everything – when a guy at the point of attack initially makes contact with a defensive end, let's just say it's a tight end, blocking in line, whether he's pinning a guy down or he's reaching a DN, whatever it is, and he initially makes contact, and then he stands right up. Like, you're not generating any movement from that point on. More often than not, you're going to lose your grip on that defender, and he's going to flow to the football and make a play. So the fact when that guy initially makes contact, he's like, okay, I did my job. He stands up. Rather than try and finish the block and rather try to contain that defender for more than a second and a half, he'll stand right up, and the battle is lost at that point. So that's one of my pet peeves. I would say a guy really, and this is something that can be learned and something that can be developed. In fact, one of the players that I just recently watched, we're going to talk about this guy next week, but my favorite tight end that I've watched so far is Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State. And one of the things that I really, really liked about his tape was that early in the year when I watched him last year, he rounded off a lot of breaks. You know, he was not a polished route runner, and that's something that, to me, in the NFL, a tight end has to be a good route runner, because, again, you're so close to the football. You've got to be precise with everything that you do, because the windows are that much tighter. To me, when a guy is not a good route runner, not a polished route runner, that's just going to be a bit of a red flag for me, that he's more likely than not, he's not going to be ready and to play right away. And to me, Dallas Goedert got better at that. And by the end of the year last year, I watched him in the playoffs against Villanova, and he was an outstanding. He looked great. I mean, the fact that he got better. I ended up watching 4 or 5 games on this kid. Every step of the way, as the season progressed, I thought he got better as a route runner. So, to me, that's one of the big things for me is, can a guy show the ability to separate, not just with quickness or with his size or with his speed. I want to see, can he run a full route tree? Can he lean into defenders and break opposite? In the drive phase of the route, when a guy, if he's running a stick route and he sinks his hips and he pounds his feet into the dirt, does all those routes look exactly the same, to the point where the defender can't tell, is he going to run a stutter go? Is he going to run a stick? Is he running a curl? Is he running a slant? What route is he running? That's where a guy, you say, you know what, this guy knows what he's doing as a route runner. And I thought that Goedert was a guy that showed the ability at the end of the year last year to be pro ready as a route runner in terms of transitioning to the NFL. So I would say the route running, and then in terms of the level of effort and the run game, those are the two big things as well for me. They're pet peeves at the position.
You know, I would say it's interesting too, if you look at the tight end position. You know, nowadays it seems like I wonder, Fran, how much they even really care or want these guys to block sometimes. I mean, they talk a good game, but I don't know. Like, if you take Evan Engram in the first round, and maybe that's just because he's that elite of an athlete, but, it's just the position has changed so much, and I would say it also really varies from team to team in terms of what they're looking for at that position.
I think back to, like, Vernon Davis, right? When Vernon Davis was coming out of Maryland, and he was an absolute freak show. Like, you remember, some of our listeners may not remember, when he was coming out of Maryland, he was just a beast in terms of athletic testing. And even on the field, you saw his ability to stretch the seam and make plays vertically. He can make plays in the screen game, make defenders miss. He did things that normal tight ends just don't do. And even still to this day, he does it. But Vernon Davis turned into I'm not saying he's a mauler, but he turned into a serviceable blocker, and he's turned into a nice blocker. Even in today's game, he's with the Washington Redskins. I watch him pretty much every single year. He's been there all season long. And that's kind of the point that I think Jim Schwartz was trying to make from that quote that I talked about earlier. If you're good enough to where the defense doesn't know whether or not it's going to be a run or a pass play, you don't need to be even as good as what Brent Celek has been throughout his career here in Philadelphia. Like, you don't need to be this mauler at the point of attack. But if you're just good enough, and if you give just good enough effort that you can be put in line, you can be lined up as a wing, you can line up as a fullback, whatever role that you're going to play, but you can line up in that position, and the defense doesn't know if it's going to be a run or a pass in terms of their, you know, because, I mean, you know how it is, and we can kind of go off on this little bit of a tangent, but defenses, as they're preparing, as they're game planning in the course of a week leading up to a game, they're running all kinds of analytics and running all kinds of numbers on what teams do formationally and with personnel packages and things like that. So with all the times, let's say that you run 12 personnel with Vernon, and that's two tight end set, with Vernon Davis on the field, okay? And if you line up with Vernon Davis on the field as your second tight end and you throw the ball 97% of the time, well, guess what? When Vernon Davis comes onto the field, the team's going to be a nickel because they're going to expect that it's going to be a pass. But if you have a 12 personnel package and it's closer to 50-50 run-pass ratio, now you're cooking with gas. Like, now you've got something where the defense doesn't necessarily know, should we be in base? Should we be in nickel? Is this going to be a pass play? Is this going to be a run play? What exactly are we preparing for? If we're in base, who's going to cover Vernon Davis? Because he's such an athletic freak. But they also have to be able to hold up in the run game. That's really what you're trying to get at with these tight ends that can be mismatches, but then also be just good enough. That's really, honestly, that's kind of like the baseline for me, is if a guy can be just good enough in the run game and in pass protection that he can be relied on in that role. Yeah, sure. A guy like Evan Engram is going to release into the route, you know, 95% of the time. But if he can just be relied on to be just good enough for the Giants this year, and again, this is an offense in New York that doesn't run the ball often, but if he can be just good enough, then I think that they've got something there. And I think that that's going to be something that can be an added dimension for them in their offense. So I think that that's what makes this position really fun. And I think when you have a coaching staff that utilize, you know, what Bill Belichick did with the Patriots when they had Gronk and Hernandez. I mean, and even last year with Gronk and Martellus Bennett. I mean, that's like a work of art. Like, that's what you're trying to achieve when you've got those two kinds of players that have the ability to impact the game in a multitude of ways. Now you're just toying with defenses. You get into no huddle. You get them stuck into a defensive personnel that you want them to be in. And now you can just call plays at will in a no huddle situation where they can't sub and really just kind of keep them on their heels. And that's really what you're hoping to do anytime you're talking about the tight end position.
Fran, let's get into some of the guys that you're excited to watch in 2017. It is Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
So it's interesting because I've seen all these guys play, and two of them actually were teammates for a while. Let's start, though, with the guy that wasn't, and that's Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin. I remember watching him make a bunch of plays, even just in the Big Ten championship game last year.
Yeah, every time I watched Wisconsin last year, he was making a play. And so when he didn't declare for the draft, and I'm glad he didn't because now we have one more good player for this upcoming draft, I was really excited to watch him because I hadn't studied him going into the year last year. So, you know, Troy Fumagalli at 6'6", 247, he's got pretty good size for the position. What really stands out to me is that he's got the ball skills that you want. He can make plays in traffic. He did have a couple drops, but for the most part, he does it. He looks really confident at the catch point, and he's used at every level of the field in the passing game. He was used down the seam. He was used in intermediate crossing routes. He was used in digs, but also in the screen game and on shallow crosses and things like that. He's used at every level of the field in the passing game, and he was probably the primary option in that passing game last year. Former walk-on who has really kind of self-made himself into one of the best players in the conference. I'm a really big fan of Fumagalli's toughness at the point of attack. To me, he's the most well-rounded player of all the guys we're going to talk about today. He's the best blocker of all the players that we're going to talk about today. He's not a great player in the run game, But again, he's just good enough. I think he's solid in pass protection. He's got the ability to leak out in the screen game and be a blocker on the move as well. He can execute all the blocks that you need in the zone run game. So he's got the ability to help an offense in a number of different ways. And I think that he's a better than average route runner. And he's a guy that has a good idea of what he's doing. He needs to get a little bit better. There are times where he'll push off at the top of the route for seemingly no reason. I think he can get a little bit cleaner there. But overall, Troy Fumagalli, to me, is the top tight end that I've studied so far from these three guys that we're going to talk about today. And he does it all. This is maybe one of my favorite things. He's only got 9 fingers. He's missing his left index finger, and he was born with a syndrome that was required that they had to amputate his one finger. So he does everything, and he's got all these great catches. He's got 9 fingers.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's really interesting. And I would imagine, you know, going to Wisconsin, that he's probably at least he's well-versed in blocking. Let's put it that way,
sure.
You know, with that offense and that team. The next guy I wanted to ask you about, and this is a guy I've watched quite a bit, and that's Mike Gesicki, the tight end from Penn State.
Yeah, I was really excited to watch him because, you know, anytime I'd watched him last year, he flashed and he had the ability to go up and he made these great catches. I remember a catch that he made late in the game against Temple where I think it was an out and up route, and he was, you know, it was like 25, 30 yards downfield. The ball was just kind of thrown up in the air. Trace McSorley kind of threw it up and he goes up with his left hand only and reels the pass in with one hand with a defender on his back. And I thought, wow, like this kid, you know, I mean, that's a pretty impressive catch. And he set the record for Penn State last year for catches by the tight end position with 48. He's got the ability to go up and win in those contested situations, which you love. And you love his length. You know, he's 6'6", he's 252 pounds, and he shows that length in the passing game. Really confident in his hands. Didn't have a lot of drops. My big thing is he's not where he needs to be right now as a blocker. I don't think he's good enough right now to be a starter today in the NFL. So he does need to get better there. He's not a clean route runner right now. So that's another thing that I kind of worry about as well. But to me, he's a guy that if you're going to look for him to be a contested catch guy, I think he can be that. I think he can be a reliable starter and a solid NFL starter. I don't know. There are some people that think he could be like a Rob Gronkowski type. I don't see that kind of athletic ceiling that a Gronk has or that a Travis Kelce has. To me, he doesn't have that great lateral quickness, Gesicki. I think he's more of a linear athlete. He's more of a get him down the seam, get him moving in a straight line, and I think you're in the right spot with Gesicki. But overall, I think he's a guy that can be a reliable starter down the line, and you know, he maybe not be a Pro Bowl talent, but I think that he can turn into that, and that's probably his ceiling. But he's got to get better as a blocker, and he's got to get better as a route runner before he reaches that. If not, he's going to be more of a role player at the next level.
Yeah, and just as background for him, he was a volleyball player and a basketball player in high school. He was a wide receiver, never played in line at all. From what I'm told, he's a physical freak show in terms of the testing, like at the combine.
Oh, yeah.
He will test extremely well with the jumps and the bench and the 40, things like that. What I notice about him is just how good his body control is, and his hands are awesome. As a sophomore, he actually had a bunch of drops. And last year, I don't think he had one the whole year. And you talk to people at Penn State, Fran, and they'll tell you he really wants to be a good blocker. He's really working at it. But deep down, it's not really who he is. You know, I mean,
yeah.
What he really is like a tall, skinny kid that played wide receiver and played volleyball. You know, it's not really – he knows it's important. He's trying, but it's not really deep down who he is. What about a guy that grew up about 10 minutes from where I am right now, and that's Adam Brenneman up at UMass from here in central Pennsylvania, who actually was Gesicki's teammate at Penn State before he retired from football because he had so many knee issues, and then last year decided, I'm going to play again, and had a huge year for UMass.
Yeah, and he did it in a pro-style offense up there for Mark Whipple. You know, he lined up all over the formation. He's a little bit undersized, But to me, I think he's a pretty fluid athlete. I think he's a good athlete. He's probably the most explosive of the three guys we've talked about today in terms of being able to get down the seam. And I think that he can be that kind of move player at the next level. I don't know that he's a three down guy. I don't know that he can hold up at the point of attack to the level. I mean, he's 250. It's not that he's small, but he's just not a great blocker right now. Whether it's in pass pro, whether it's as a drive blocker, whether it's out on the move, in any way, shape, or form, Adam Brenneman's just not where he needs to be in the run game. But I think that if you're talking about a guy that can be moved around the formation, he can be sent down the seam, he's got pretty good hands, he's got the ability to adjust to the ball, he can make plays after the catch. There's a lot of things that I liked. And you're going to have to check out the knees. That's absolutely the case. You mentioned those injuries as well. You're going to need to check on that. But the kid, look, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He's got talent. He ended up at UMass, like you said. One of his best friends in high school plays there at UMass. And so I think when he kind of got the itch to play football, he said, hey, well, come and join us at UMass. And that's how the ball got rolling there. So I think when you look at Brenneman, though, I think you're looking more as kind of a backup or a role player as opposed to a three-down starter. But still an intriguing player that I think is going to be drafted in this class. I do think you're going to, as long as his knee checks out, and that is a big if, as long as his knee checks out, I think that you're going to see him hear his name called in the middle rounds. He's got some talent to him.
I love it. Yeah. And just the thing, it's crazy to think they were both at Penn State. And he had like 70 catches for 1,100 yards maybe, like as a sophomore in high school at wide receiver. I mean, it's crazy. I remember talking to Ed Manowitz, who was at Alabama at the time, and he later became one of the front office guys with the Eagles. And he said, Ross, are there any sophomores in Pennsylvania? I said, yeah, there's a tight end from Cedar Cliff. It's pretty amazing, actually, to think it goes full circle. Remember, you can always catch Fran on his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week, talking about the game of football from the All-22. Next week, we will start our conference previews for 2017, and we're starting off with the non-Power 5, Notre Dame, the AAC, the MAC, FCS, etc., which means I get to talk about the left side of the Notre Dame offensive line, which is awesome. So that'll be a lot of fun. Other than that, remember, you can always take advantage of our sponsors. If you have a specific question about a specific prospect, position, whatever, just send it to me, ross@rostucker.com. And rostucker.com is where all the sponsors, including Amazon, are for you to take advantage of. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.